Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
And welcome to Recall the Midwife. We're three best friends who talk about Call the Midwife. Today, we are talking about the 2018 Christmas special. I'm Alex.
I'm Becky.
I'm Jen. A reminder that this week's episode deals with child abandonment, cross-racial adoption, traumatic birth, and disability. So if those topics are ones you'd prefer to skip this time, we understand and hope you join us for the next one.
It's Christmas 1968. Trixie returns to Poplar, and there are also some new faces. Miss Higgins takes up a position as Dr. Turner's receptionist. Sister Hilda rings in the nurse's house to inform the nuns that Mother Jesu Emmanuel has been diagnosed with a brain tumour. The sisters are asked to return to the mother house so that a new mother superior can be elected. Sister Monica Joan feigns illness, but they are joined by Sister Mildred, who has brought some Chinese orphans with her who are shortly to be adopted. It's presumed that Sister Julienne will be elected, but she feels that her calling is to remain in Poplar. Meanwhile, Sister Winifred finds her calling looking after orphan children at the mother house. Back in Poplar, Trixie, Lucille and Val are called to the aid of Mavis Hollier, who gives birth in the street. And at the mother house, a heavily pregnant woman keeps appearing. Her name is Lena, and she lived at the mother house as a child before being sent to Australia as part of the Children's Farm school scheme. She was separated from her brother Billy, but after she gives birth to a baby boy, Sheila and Miss Higgins are able to track down Billy and reunite them. Sheila is at the mother house to help Sister Julienne bring order to Mother Jesu's office. One of the adoptive families isn't able to take May, a Chinese orphan, and Sheila and Dr. Turner decide to foster her. To Sister Julienne's relief, Sister Mildred is voted in as the new mother superior, and her first order is that Sister Julienne should return to Poplar and Sister Winifred should remain at the mother house.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa.
Well, it's an hour and a half, isn't it? So it's already a long episode, but can I just say what an amazing welcome we have for Miss Higgins, a legend in the making. Already she's amazing on this. Love her.
I love Miss Higgins. Her. And also, can we just do a thing right at the top? Because Al, you're usually the one that does this, but I'm sure because of her fame and notoriety, no one will be shocked that Miriam Margolyes, who plays Sister, what's her name? I can't remember.
Mildred, Mother Mildred, Sister Mildred,
who brings the babies from China, has popped in, and we know all of her like former credits because she's amazing. She's been in so many amazing movies. And one of my absolute favorites that, like, for any of our listeners out there who are 90s kids, she was, now again, this was a different time, so I want to say I don't think this casting maybe would fly this time, but she played the nurse in the Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet. And she's just been in so many amazing movies, but that's like one of my movies that's like seared into my brain, like on a so deep like cellular level. But Miriam Margolyes is like, wow, we love you.
Before we start, do you remember me telling you the other day, the week, that we had listeners saying about Calendar Girls that we should watch it? Yeah. Because, well, it was on the telly the other day. Even though I've got Disney Plus and it's
I've
on that.
Watch Calendar Girls.
Well, it's on Disney Plus. I could have just watched it there, but I watched it anyway on the telly just because it was on by chance.
I think films are better if I don't. This makes no sense, but I think films are better if you just stumble across them.
I'm with you.
Actually, on television, for some reason, it makes a difference.
Today, well, you don't have to like. Three Men and a Baby was on before the football today, and it was literally one of the best times. Me and Bob sat here watched Three Men and a Baby. Loved it.
Yeah. I didn't stumble across it. I chose it, but I didn't think about it too much. I put on Apollo 13. I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago on the pod. I put Apollo 13 on, and it was amazing. And I just, it was like, I just put it on before I could really like stop and interrogate whether I quote wanted to watch it. And that was delightful. It was absolutely delightful.
Well,
but
hang on, let me get back to Calendar Girls, because Miss Higgins was amazing in it. Nurse Crane is amazing in it. There's loads of cameos from Miss Higgins, Nurse Crane. There's loads of them in it.
Oh my God.
I am going to watch it because.
You do need to watch it.
I mean, I've seen it, but I'm going to watch it again.
I haven't seen it, and I'm going to watch it for the first time. You know what? I'm actually going to make a note about this on my phone. Also, never forget, Miriam Margolyes is in Harry Potter.
Yeah.
She plays Professor...
She's so... If you've ever watched Professor Sprout...
Yes. She's the herbology professor. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you've... I'm amazed I got that.
I'm well amazed with you as well.
Yeah.
Well done.
It's like a moment of epiphany. If you've ever watched her on an interview, she's just filthy.
I know. I saw a thing with her one time where she did like a What's in My Bag, which was like insane to think about her doing a What's in My Bag. But she literally had a raw onion in there. And girl, she was like, so this is my raw onion. She's like, I just love the taste of it. She's like, I just eat it like an apple. And she's like, you know, some people are like, oh, are you afraid that your breath is going to taste like raw onion? She's like, no, because I don't care. And I love it. And I just thought you were the weirdest woman, and I am so here for it. She's just so strange, and it's great.
Back to Miss Higgins. I absolutely lolled at how much Sheila was put out by her, even though she wanted her there.
And also, Sheila should respect everything that Miss Higgins brings to that role.
I know.
Exactly. Well, and frankly, it was disgusting hearing them talk about sputum, but at the same time, she brought up a good point. Listen, if there's a lot of samples, mail them off 2 times a day instead of 1 time a day. And I just thought it was hilarious when Miss Higgins said something like, oh, I think that'll be better. And Sheila says, well, Dr. Turner's always liked it the way it was before. And I was like, okay, Sheila, like, calm down. Huh?
There was another scene as well where Sheila was angry and she was saying to Dr. Turner, like, you know, Miss Higgins, I'm sure she was enthusiastically marking me off the calendar. And we'll talk about why later, but it just made me absolutely laugh.
Yeah.
Now, as we're recording this, I've just watched have I watched the last in the series of series 13?
Yes.
Oh, by the way, girls, it started in the US and Mom and I watched the first episode, and we have a few more we're going to watch tonight as well.
Lovely. Yeah. But I found, because I just watched that episode and then I watched this episode for us to record, and I found this episode, you know what I'm like, I can't remember anything.
Yeah.
It refreshed a lot of what was going on.
Yeah.
It was very relevant to the end of series 13.
Oh. It was. I thought this as well.
Oh.
Also, Jen, just to say, no spoilers, but, you know, we cried loads at the Barbara episode.
Oh, dear.
It's an episode this series that is absolutely harrowing. That me and Becky were like, we can't watch this.
I know. Well, girls, my mom, okay, like she loves to do this. I know I've said this on the pod before, but she loves to do this thing where she'll say, no spoilers, but, and then she'll say the spoiler. And it's become a joke in my family where, so my brother-in-law is an absolute maniac for like not wanting to know anything at all about anything he watches in advance. He's just like determined. He's like, I barely even want to know the name of the movie. He's got a whole thing about going in blind to like anything he sees. But... my mom loves to like either tell or guess everything that's going to happen when you watch a show or a movie. And she was reading something online about Call the Midwife yesterday. And she said, oh, and she started reading the headline. And she said something, something Trixie. And I was like, stop. And I just absolutely was like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to know. I'm like, if you want to spoil the whole season for yourself, spoil it. But I'm like, do not under any circumstances, like pain of painful death. No, that I want to know. I was like, I want to hear nothing. So, but that also means we have to like get going because I know she's not gonna be able to hold out for too long. So anyways.
Well, I cry. I'm not a crier when it comes to Call the Midwife, and I cried in this.
Wait, in the Christmas special or in the episode from episode 13?
Both.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. I cried in this episode. It was sad at times.
Before we fully get into this episode, I need to talk about Nurse Mount and Nurse Busby being in Scotland and having a puppy called Garbo. So have they stopped traveling now and they've just settled down in Scotland?
Who they knows? Must have done, because you can't just bring a puppy around. I don't know what the laws were like in the early 1960s about bringing dogs everywhere, but I'm pretty sure you can't just have a puppy and bring it to different countries all the time. Also, I love the nods to Greta Garbo there.
Yeah, I think they're just going full, like, you know, lesbian couple mode, you know what I mean? Like they're in some remote part
they're
of Scotland
a couple now because they've got a puppy.
Pupple. So yeah, they're living life. We're never going to hear from them again.
Now I know, obviously, but you would think that they would be able to live that life better in London than in some remote.
Maybe they're in like Isle of Skye, just them on the island on their own.
Well, I was going to say, the more remote it is, the less it would be a problem, I think, because everyone would know them and they would just leave them alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think it's one of those situations where if there's only a few people, you know everybody's business, whereas in a city where there's so much, no one pays any attention to anyone else because there's just so much.
Well, see, I would kind of counter that by saying if you're in a place where there's no one and they really know you, then if anyone like kind of figures out that you are any type of thing, but they know you and they like you and they care about you, they'll probably just leave you alone about it because they're like, well, like, I know Nurse Mount, she's amazing, I love her, like, I don't give a hog's wallop who she, you know, like, goes to bed with or whatever, like, she's a good nurse, like, that's
Becky's
all that matters
to me.
To
say is that in Scotland they are very judgmental, is that what you're saying, Beth?
Yeah.
Yes, exactly, that's what I was getting at.
This would play out anywhere. I think there's more anonymity in a big city than a small.
Yeah. No, I get what tablet. You're saying, 100%. But they've got a puppy now called Garbo. So
yeah,
that's
they
what
do.
They're doing. That's what they're doing. Also, there was an aerogram from Tom Herriwood saying he'd been made warmly welcome by Barbara's father in New Guinea. So
God.
That's going to be a miserable Christmas.
You're not wrong.
And Trixie's return. So Trixie.
I was so pleased to see it.
Oh,
yeah,
no.
I was. But like the first thing, I don't know. I thought there was a lot, because obviously Trixie gets back. Everybody's already eaten, so there's no food. Val goes out and gets fish and chips. Lovely, lovely, lovely. Then that Trixie discovers that they've got moths, which serves her right because she left all her washing with Val.
That's exactly in my notes there. Yeah. I hope you got that pile of washing slob.
But the moths have got to her cardigan, her work cardigan. So, and this got me.
Yeah.
Phyllis gave her Barbara's cardigan.
Oh,
she did. And she cried. And her acting was brilliant there. And it was... Oh.
But I felt like there was a long... Like, she got back and everybody was just happy, 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 happy. And I just think Barbara would have come up in conversation before that point.
Yeah, I feel like they would have had letters and stuff though, because obviously she did know, didn't she? That's why I think that was the whole point of that reference there. But also, she got a much better welcome than Barbara and Tom did when they came back, and just Sister Winifred was like, "Oh, hi."
But I will say, Barbara rang ahead and said she didn't want a welcome, didn't she?
Oh, I don't know.
She didn't ring ahead at all. I think she just said it to Tom.
Right.
Yeah, he said you didn't want anyone to know because you didn't want anyone to make a fuss, is what they said when they, and she was like, why isn't anyone here? And he was like, well, babe, you didn't tell anyone you were coming, so I don't really know what you thought was going to happen when we got here. And she was like, oh yeah, well, and then it was like they went to the party anyway, so it didn't really matter. But the thing is, like, what I have to remember when I watched this too, because I was like, oh, Barbara, the thing is that like those two episodes aired like 7 months apart, and like we'd all kind of like not moved on, but you know what I'm saying? Like it was like, you know, like
we were
like
over it.
Well, I mean, it's just like the Christmas episode usually is like just the little teaser, you know, kind of thing you get, and then a couple, like a month later, the new season starts, so it's kind of like a reset, you know what I mean? So I think like going back to Barbara full on and like having a whole nother Barbara thing wouldn't have really made, as much as I love and adore Barbara, it wouldn't have made sense for them to kind of like rehash.
You're 100% right.
Yeah, so, but I get it. I mean, we love Barbara. So yeah, but Trixie got her turn to be sad about it, which was important.
Yeah. Should we talk about Mavis Hollier? Because I wasn't invested in this storyline, and I think let's just get past it.
Okay.
She was just a bit of a moron, wasn't she?
This was not Fred's daughter, though, right?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know why I had a question mark in my mind about that, but okay. So
she was basically like my sister. Oh, she was treated like a queen. Treated like a queen. She was in the hospital. Oh, she had a great. Oh, none of these. None of these nanans, I'm treated like a queen. And that's all she kept going on about. Oh, she had a great time. Oh, it was great. And everyone's like, well, you sure you don't want to be in an aunt? She's like, oh, no, treat like a queen.
Breakfast on a tray. Oh, the breakfast, hospital breakfast. Oh, well, maybe toast is fine, but I've seen hospital food.
Toast and a cup of tea after I had my daughter was the best thing I've ever had in my life.
But hospital food is not good. I mean, I don't know what it was like in the 1960s.
Actually, I had fish and chips. That was quite nice.
Oh, no, I've seen some right shockers.
Oh, don't tell me this. I've got to go back into hospital, am I? Anyway, so she went to the hospital when she went into labour and they were like, oh, I'm really sorry, lovely. Don't have any beds. We're going to have to go. Where were they trying to send her?
St. Julian's? Something like that?
Jollyans? Jolly.
Oh, yeah, that one, yeah.
Yeah. And she had to wait for an ambulance that would be an hour or you can make your own way there. And she was like, how very dare they? I'm basically royal. I'm not having this. I'm not staying here. So she tries to catch a bus with her husband. And her husband was a bit hapless, wasn't he?
He was useless, well, it's honestly. The fact
they didn't even know where Nanata's house was. He didn't know what street woman, they were on.
I'm not a woman, Mavis. Do you like your stupid article? It's next to the school.
Well, the thing that was funny was he left her in a phone box and then he gets to Nanata's house and they're like, okay, well, where is she? Like, what's the cross street? We got to call the ambulance and tell him to go there and then we have to find her herself. And he's like, I have no idea where she is. He was like, oh my God, you were so unhelpful.
To be fair though, guys, I'm not just saying this. I can see, I work with loads of men. I've got a husband. I'm telling you now, that would happen.
I'm always amazed the amount of times when Trixie has to take off her shoes to run out of Nanata's house.
I know.
Surely you'd be better off just keeping your shoes on and going at a slower pace.
Well, girls. Trixie was teaching Lucille and Val about the benefits of a black shift dress from a couturier in Paris.
Yeah.
Had it on. And then.
Understated elegance.
they're just not the audience she needs. It's very plain. Do you think your head might be a bit hot with a white fur hat on? Like that kind of thing. They're just not the best audience. Dressed in black couture dress goes out onto the streets of Poplar, which, let's be honest, it's filthy at the best of times.
Tights.
I just don't know why Trixie couldn't have said to them, like, girls, stop. Literally just unzip me for 1 second. Let me just go get out of this. Like, it wouldn't have changed anything. Like, just 1 second of difference. But the thing that actually made me think of this was, okay, do you remember, like, cast your minds back, like, way, way back. Remember when Trixie and Tom were first starting to date and there was an episode where you both were like, Trixie really annoyed me because Tom asked her a question and she said, well, is it robin's egg blue or sky blue or something else blue?
Annoying.
Painting the bus. I didn't have that reaction at that time, but something about Trixie, even though it was a lols scene for me and I like laughed a lot, actually, something about Trixie in that scene with the girls where she was trying on the clothes like really gave me that like kind of ick for her, where I was just like, stop. Like, she was just acting like she didn't know these girls and like she was just telling them all this. I'm like, surely you've worked with these women before, you know they don't care about this, you know that this is not their thing. Like, you're talking about being on, you know, the Riviera and going to an atelier and like, you know, getting like a shentung shift dress and all this. It's like, just calm down for God's sakes. Like,
be fair though, Jen, I think it reminds me of you telling us about skincare. Because you're so into it, and Becky knows more than me, but we're both a bit like, oh.
And that's not saying much.
No. So, also, to be fair, Bex, remember, you didn't moisturise till you were 30. So,
when I turned 30, I was like, I need to stop moisturising. I still don't do it every day.
What?
Look at me then. Tell everyone to wear sunscreen again and like go for it. Now, I will say my current state is not indicative of my usual personal rigor with my skincare routine. Oh, girls, wait, quick side note. I'm going to do the exact thing you just literally accused me of, but I really want to get an LED mask.
Have you seen them on TikTok?
Do they even work?
Nutters.
Well, I know. Everyone looks crazy when they're wearing them. And the thing I feel like is if I put it on, I don't know how the red light wouldn't just like really like bother my eyes, but I've heard you can like see it fine out of them just fine. But the thing is, I've never been able to get. Well, supposedly it helps with like with making your skin look better. Like it helps like with cell regeneration, like, you know, like getting rid of like dark spots and like wrinkles.
Does it get rid of mustaches?
I think that's a different product. You need like a laser.
I'm selling over here, guys. I'm not.
But I really want one of those things, and actually, I haven't gotten one because they're really expensive. They're like $300 or $400.
Oh my god.
Yeah, they're really expensive. But the thing is that I did... Now, I'm not going to do it...
the adverts on this, yeah?
I know. I'm not going to do it anytime. They're going to now definitely go in for this, like, current body, like, thing. But I heard that I'm not going to do it anytime soon, but that you can use your, like, so in America, you'll have like flexible spending account with your healthcare where you put money in and then you can use it during the year as like kind of like a savings account towards like eyeglasses or, like a walker or, like whatever, like special
Question. What
healthcare
are the,
product that
when you
you
say
need.
eyeglasses, why do you say eyeglasses, not like just glasses?
I don't know. I really don't know. I just said
Well, because
glasses.
what else are you getting? Bum glasses? Carry on, sorry.
Well, I mean, anyway, glasses for your, glasses for your eyeballs. Okay, whatever. But I did hear that some people have used the money in those accounts at the end of the year when they need to get rid of the money because it doesn't roll over, that they bought one of those with those. And I was like, oh, now that might be a way to get it. Because if I've already got it in there and I'm going to lose it if I don't use it, and I could get it to be reimbursed for that, then
Do you know
maybe I
that's
would.
called Jen girl math?
Girl math, you know it, you know it. Like me spending $200 on skincare products that I use at home means I'm saving money on a facial because I'm not going to a facial because I have all the products at home, which means basically the products are free. So,
Girl math.
girl math. Yep. Well, that's like
Anyway.
Trixie. That's like Trixie because she was like, oh, well, if I spend all this money on one dress and three sweaters and two hats, then I have 12 outfits, which basically means that that's like cheaper than if I actually bought like 12 individual garments. So, girl math. There you go.
Exactly.
I related it back to called midwife.
But also black, a little black dress. This must have been like the birth of the little black
Well,
dress.
I think this was the beginning of LBD
Yeah.
culture, honestly, because I feel like now, I correct me if I'm wrong, anybody out there, but I do think that that was kind of pioneered by like Coco Chanel, like Yves Saint Laurent type time, and this would have been the time when that type of stuff was like
Yeah,
really done
exactly. That's what I
hardcore.
thought. Yeah. Like Audrey Hepburn kind of era.
Well, wait, actually, good point, because what year did Breakfast at Tiffany's come out? It came out in 1961. So yeah, this was like, because this is now 1960, like three or something in the,
Is
yeah.
it 68?
No, we can't be at 68 already.
No, do you know what it is? It was the 2018 Christmas special, and that's why I'm getting confused. I'm assuming it's 1968. Wait, in my
Because
synopsis, did I say it's 1968?
this year's Christmas special was only 19, like 69 to 1970.
Oh, so apologies, everybody. In my synopsis, I started it by saying it's Christmas 1968.
We didn't
It's
realize. We're
not.
just
And none of
there
us
going, oh,
caught
yeah,
that.
nodding like
None
a
of us
dog.
caught that.
No,
But
we never
yeah, but
do.
literally, but Audrey Hepburn in the, see, you can see it here. Audrey Hepburn in the poster for Breakfast Tiffany's is wearing that black dress, like so iconic. And so yeah, this is definitely the time of year for that. Not time of
So
year, but
anyway,
time of
so
life. So
Trixie in her black dress, in her
yeah.
couturier black dress, with Lucille and with Val, went out to Mavis, who was giving birth.
Like
Oh, poor
literally in front
Mavis.
of a telephone box. I felt bad for her, honestly. That
Yeah,
sucked.
she wasn't being treated like a queen.
No, the opposite.
So she had a bit of a weird birth where she was stood up, but I did find it hilarious. I thought Val was hilarious. Just think of us as the Beverly Sisters, but with rubber gloves. Lol. I've got a picture of the Beverly Sisters, and what I'm going to try and do, because I remember them, I'm going to try and put their faces on. So it might be absolutely horrific and really worrying when you see that picture. Just warning, just a warning.
Is it
And
going to be
then,
better than when you put Dr. Turner and Sheila's face on you and your husband when you showed your wedding dress on
yeah,
our
no, that's what I'm saying.
story?
Everyone was really disturbed by it. I'm going to do a really good job of that again.
Oh
So
my God.
it was obviously Christmas, and she was like, she had a little boy, and she was like, oh, when she was waiting for the ambulance, oh, maybe I could call it Noel or Gabriel. And
And Val
Belle
was
was like,
like,
wait until your hormones have calmed down. But actually, nowadays, Gabriel's quite a popular name.
yeah, Gabriel is a very trendy type of name right now.
Yeah,
For
Noel,
sure.
I don't think is.
Noel, not so good. I don't like the name Noel, to be honest with you.
Well, I
Not so
think it
much.
would be Noel, wouldn't it? It's a
Well,
boy.
not if it was a boy. Noel is
No,
more of a
Noel
girl's name.
Edmonds. Yeah.
I know
You'd be
it's
better
Noel,
going
actual
with something
word.
like Joseph for a Christmas baby.
Well, they're doing
Well,
baby Nicholas, aren't they? Yeah.
imagine if she named it like Angel. That would be a very like
I think I'm gonna say Jesus.
I think you're gonna say Santa.
What about King? What if they just named it King? That's like a
This
very
is
modern.
Father Christmas Holly, whatever his name was.
Oh man. Yeah, but
Christmas
so she
pudding. I know somebody who's born on Christmas Day, and his name's Christian.
Oh, one of my friends had her daughter on Christmas Day. Yeah.
And has she got a Christmas name?
No, not at all. She has the name of my friend's mother, which was a choice they made like long before she was ever
I know somebody
like.
who's got a daughter called Summer, and she was born in winter. Anyway,
Oh,
back to Mavis.
you think the birth is the top of the cake? No, it's not. More's coming for Mavis, okay? Like she's still got a long road ahead.
She gets a vaginal hematoma the size
Bleh.
of a tangerine.
Oh, that's a
Which
seasonal image for you from Dr. Turner. Thank you, Dr. Turner.
Which, I mean, isn't that a, isn't like a hematoma a bruise?
I think it's like a blood blister.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
On your vagina. Oh, God.
I wouldn't like it anywhere.
Oh.
In fact, if anything, one of my least favorite places would be my vagina.
Oh, well, just think like, I mean, I don't really know, like, they didn't say it and I don't want to know, but like, how do you even get one of those? I don't want to know, so don't tell me, don't tell any of us, but
you're still asking.
I've literally never, I literally just asked, but I don't want to know, but like, that's the kind of thing.
But there's a lot of trauma in that area, isn't there?
Well, I know, but it just, it's like, I mean, oh, you know what? Never mind. I don't want to know. I don't want to know anymore. I don't want to know how you get it. I don't know what, want to know why you get it. I don't want to know anything about it. Just anyway, she had it. It was really painful. They had to drain it. She had to go on gas.
Like, you poor thing.
Yeah.
Like, you poor thing. And then people have like arms coming off and stuff. And he's never like, you know, he's just like, you know, put it in the drawer, Sheila. But this, you poor thing.
His acting is sometimes a bit selective. And it's like, I do love Dr. Turner so much. But every once in a while, it's just kind of like, really? Where is this coming from? But okay. All right. Whatever.
You poor thing. Mavis is in the maternity hospital now. She's all upset because it's Christmas. She doesn't know if Russell or other baby knows it's Christmas. But Val and everybody comes to the rescue.
Oh, I love him. They but also, what treatment she is getting. She even gets a sherry and a mince pie while she's wrapping her presents. The treatment she's getting, she's treated like a queen. She's never having giving birth in a hospital again. She is all about, she's an advert for the Nurse's House now. She's just like, I'm never going stepping foot in a hospital ever again.
Oh, God.
And she says, what they don't tell you about hospitals is there might not be a bed, which is something we know all about nowadays.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, we're definitely in that time where it's, you know, they're, I mean, because even in, I know we're going to talk about the third book in a couple of weeks, but do you remember in Jennifer Wirth's first book, when she talks about when she is young nurse at the Nanottins, how busy it is. They have like 80 births a month. They're like literally running from like birth to birth to birth, aftercare appointment to aftercare appointment. It's like crazy. They're rushed off their feet. They literally cannot even catch a breath. And then she's like, by 1960 something, with, you know, the women's revolution, you know, birth control, feminism, like all these different, you know, like social, like women going to work, like all these different like social and medical like developments and everything. She's like, we went from like 80 births a month to like 10 births a month. And she was like, it was a totally different game for us. And so, you know, and that was obviously like hospitals were getting pushed at that time too. So, I mean, I think we're really starting to feel the transition of this community.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So anyways, but she's fine. She's fine. Ultimately, the baby's fine. The women come in, they give her wrapping paper presents. Like you said, a drink. She's treated like a queen. She like, Dr. Turner donates his old Christmas tree, which to Timothy had no idea. And he's really upset about, but Dr. Turner doesn't care.
Well, do you know what? That's still, I want to talk about that. That's
okay. I do as well. Because
he had with his mum. Probably one, like a connection he had for a Christmas with his mum. And Dr. Turner just gives it away. And that really annoyed me.
Well, and Dr. Turner, like, why couldn't you have given away the tree you're going to throw away in a week? You know what I mean? Like, give away the 7-foot tree. That is, like, truly one of the most sentimental memories that they've had. They've literally had it every single year. And it's, I just was like, oh my God, you're so tone deaf, Dr. Turner.
I was cross with Dr. Turner for that, because I know it doesn't mean anything because it's just a physical possession, but it does, because it holds all their memory. And I was just a bit...
Well, and even Tim says it. He's like, you're always just giving everything away. And it's just like, at least ask me, consult me, you know, like say like, Tim, is it okay? And if Tim was on board with it, then that'd be one thing. But just to be like, oh, I'm just going to give it away, Tim, like get with the program. It's like, no, yeah. Dr. Turner, you get with the program. Like, this is
I do a cull of my daughter's toys and I make sure she's there. Because I'm like, you're going to give these to people who don't have toys. We're going to give these away to people. So she knows. And she's not like, oh. But I think taking it away is just a bit mean without letting them know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Do you know why else I'm annoyed with Dr. Turner in this episode?
Why?
He's just bought a car without consulting Sheila.
Yes. Amen. I was literally going to say the exact same thing. That is way too big of a purchase to make independently.
Picks her up, and that's the first time she sees the size and model of car that he's bought.
He's been a man in the 1950s, 1960s. He's a man in the 1950s, 1960s. He can do what he wants when he wants. And there's no more room for a living thing, by the way. Let's just put that in our heads right now.
Well, until... So, well, and actually, Sheila kind of gets Dr. Turner back, because she's like, well, anyway, we're going to talk about it in a minute. But,
yeah.
Yeah. But at least she asked permission. Not permission. At least she talks to him about it before she does it. But
unlike Dr. Turner.
Unlike Dr. Turner, but...
Should we talk about... I keep wanting to say Mother Mildred. She will be Mother Mildred, but she's Sister Mildred when she rocks up at Nanata's house.
Yeah. Oh, well, she rocks... Can I just say, talk about arriving in style. She arrives with the most gorgeous little Chinese babies.
Oh, my God. I feel like... I shouldn't be saying this, but oh my God, the Chinese babies were just so lush.
Well, they are so lush. There's they are. I mean, all babies are cute, but like, no, they were just so beautiful. Oh,
these ones are next level lush.
Yeah, but it's the way she just comes in, just like, hang on, take this one. I've got another six in the car.
Well, she just brusques her way through like every scene. And the one I loved was after they're at the mother house when Sister Mildred is talking about, you know, the conditions in China that have produced, you know, these children who have been basically like left behind, and the mother who couldn't take May because of her, you know, like unfortunate, you know, abusive kind of cycle and everything like that. And then the nun at the end of the table goes, you know, dinner times are supposed to be a silent effort. And she goes, well, this is an unusual dinner, so we're going to have unusual talking or something like that.
Yeah,
and
then she's amazed. She's just a bit like, sure. Like,
yeah, she's like, I don't care. I'm not respecting that. Like, keep it moving. And then she just goes back.
And that's fine for the first time that nun says it, but it was just hilarious when she said it for the second time.
Well, she's like, yeah, also, this is another special situation, so zip it, you know, sister,
also,
whatever
your
name is.
Can we talk about how the nuns really have a very inefficient way of doing a vote and basically getting everyone around from everywhere, but really busy parishes where people are actually, you know, giving birth all the time and need their extra help. They're bringing people back to do a really long vote over a few days. It's just absolutely ridiculous.
Well, I was going to talk about this because they are always so short-staffed at Nanata's house.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, they're just all going to be called back to the mother house just to really...
Just to do this silly vote over a few days.
I know, but I agree. But what are you going to do?
So the reason they're doing a vote is because you mentioned it, but Mother Jesu Emmanuel has got a brain tumor, which is awful.
I can't say her name properly, so apologies if I butchered that.
Well, it's fine.
No, I think you're fine.
I think you've got it perfectly. I wasn't listening, no, obviously, because we didn't hear 1968. So, so she's ill and obviously needs to step down. So then it's like they do this kind of like weird ballot where a man is in charge of it. Don't understand that either. What's going on with the nuns there? So they're like, oh, yeah, here's your vote, whatever. And Sister Julienne doesn't want to do it, but isn't allowed to say she doesn't want to do it because she has taken a vow of
obedience.
Even though
Mother Mildred's the least obedient person
in the whole world, yeah.
But also, she isn't allowed to say that she doesn't want to do it, but at the same time, is allowed to say, oh, also Mother Jesu says that nobody else has the intellect.
Yeah.
Like, and what a drag on all the
other. Sister Hilda being like, oh, by the way, before we do this big thing where we're about to do a big vote, just like to say, Sister Julienne, like, you're amazing and you've done so well with the what did she say about how did she word it about the governance in the office? And you've done an amazing job sorting the governance of the office. So whoever gets chosen, Sister Julienne, will be great.
We're gonna really love it. Also, you know what made me laugh is at the beginning of that when they get to the mother house. Which, by the way, just like a quick word for the mother house, I know why the ladies didn't want to stay there or like live there, except for Winifred. But that beautiful house right on the coast and everything. Oh my God, it looked absolutely sublime and like so. Oh my God, it just looks so beautiful.
Oh, we need to say this: Sister Monica Jo and Mojo didn't want to go. She basically got Dr. Turner around. She was a bit naughty getting him round herself because she was basically being illness. Because she doesn't want to die there. I think I get it. Like the way it was actually a really moving scene.
I get it, but it still annoyed the hell out of me because this is just like classic annoying behavior where she just does whatever the F she wants. And it's like, I
respect that.
To be honest, I respect her more reading this last third book than I have done.
I'm going to separate the book and the show. My annoyance went away. It was very temporary, but it's another one, and the thing is, if she doesn't want to go, just say you don't want to go. No one's going to force you to go there. You know what I mean?
But like, I think they might because of this vote's very important, blah, 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 blah. Whereas if she's got a doctor's note, she can't go, then she's excused.
I don't know. I just think the way that the relationship between Sister Julienne and Monica Joan is that if she just walked in and she was like, listen, Julienne, real talk, I'm not going there and you're not going to make me like with love and respect, like over my cold dead body.
Yeah,
like,
but I think Sister Julienne will have been like, I'm in charge of this order here. Obedience, you're going.
I know, but she never has before, ever. Like, do you remember when Sister Monica Joan wanted to take the taxi cabs to see her cousin, like, 50 times
They've
a month?
They've been so many rules. I'm with Jen on this.
I just think ultimately, whatever SMJ wants to do, she's going to do it. And Sister Julian's like,
sorry, I think you're calling a mojo now.
Mojo. Sorry, mojo. Like, because the thing is, Sister Julian, like, is always just like, okay, thank you, I guess. All right, we'll just move on. You know, like, she just isn't, like, there's no stopping that lady. Anyways, but what made me laugh was, wait a minute, where was I going with this? I was going to say something about the house being beautiful. Oh, this was what I was going to say. What's the name of the nun that was already at the mother house? That was there, that's made the whole comment about Sister Julian over and over again. What's for that lady's
Sister
name?
Sister Hilda.
Sister Hilda. Okay, so when she was walked into the Mother Jesu Emmanuel's office, and it's terrible, and it's like literally piles and piles and piles and piles and piles, like precariously, like literally not a smooth pile in sight. Like all the papers have just been thrown in there. The drawers are open with papers coming out. The bookshelves are like things hanging off, all of that. And she's like, oh, none of us knew how bad it had gotten. Excuse me? You literally, like, Sister Julian's office every day. Like, you couldn't have opened the door and been like, ah, and then.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Just been like, what's going on?
So true.
Also, just to say, there was too much for me to cover this properly in the synopsis. So I was just like, and then Sheila turned up. But Sister Julianne calls Sheila and basically says, can you leave your family in the days before Christmas, the busiest time of the year, and come and help me sort out the office? But I don't think she was calling it just because she needed a hand with the office. I think she needed the moral support.
Yeah, now I think that as well. She definitely needed the moral support because there's a gorgeous scene with them on a beach we'll talk about in a second. But for Sheila, who was a nun for 10 years, that must be so weird. Yeah. So strange going back to that house where she was, you know, she must have been a novitiate or whatever they call. What do they call them?
Judas.
No, novice?
Yeah, a novice. And done all of everything there. Like, it just must seem so strange for her to be going back there.
Didn't she even say? Because they showed that photo. She was like, oh, she's like, the last time I was here was when I something. And then took my vows, I guess. And then she's like, and then she says, I don't even feel like that person exists anymore. I don't even know who that is. And Sister Julian was like, well, you know.
But that scene on the beach. So basically, she gets her there and she sorts the office out, and that's great. And then the beach scene where they're waiting for the bells for everyone to go in and basically find out who's going to be the mother.
And you said that they made such a big deal about this vote. It was kind of like they were electing a new pope and they were waiting for the smoke.
It's so true. But they were on the beach and Sister Julianne and Sheila, and she's like, oh, I just want to make this moment last and fill it with things I have chosen. And she's like, what would you choose now? And she was like, a cigarette. And Sheila's like, well, actually...
I love Sheila's reason for having cigarettes: nervous fathers and then unexpected social situations.
She knows.
Well, to be fair, this is an unexpected social situation. She's not wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and like, you know, she's around mothers and stuff like that. You know, I bet they have like, you know, like a cigarette when they have a cup of coffee together and like complain about their families and stuff like that. So, you know.
Now, do you know what scene was chef's kiss for me?
Go on.
The scene where the nuns wake up and all of the nuns are praying and you just hear all the voices.
Oh, at the beginning of the morning, like when they're in their gowns at the mother house. Oh, yeah.
Anyone who's moved by that.
I was touched by that scene, actually. I thought it was very sweet. Because Sister Julian, you can tell.
I don't remember it at all.
Oh. I found the mother house to be a very serene location. Like, to me, the being near the water, the way that the house was kind of that dusty, faded kind of, you know, looked like it was a bit, not crumbly, but you know what I mean? Like, it was, it just, I found it to be a very serene place. I know it was kind of more zany on the interior than that, but
also, I thought, introduction this episode to Sister Hilda and Sister Frances, as well as Mother Mildred and Miss Higgins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there were a lot of new faces today. Also, Jen, shout out, they were discussing Nivea hand cream.
I know, Nivea. She said,
which
I want.
Which is still really popular today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, I use Nivea face cream every day.
Yep, it's,
and
it's
I have
an
done
OG
since
product.
Before I was 30.
Do you know what I did though when I started using Nivea? I bought there's like the dark blue tub of Nivea, yeah, which is basically for your body, which is really rich. And then there's the light Nivea cream, which is for your face. I bought the body cream and was using it on my face because Alex was like, Nivea's so good. I was like, oh, it's very heavy. Because I was using body cream.
You probably needed it. You haven't done it early enough. So
I probably did. My skin was like,
it's like sandpaper. Give a touch to shark.
It's like a cat's tongue.
Oh, your whole face. Oh, man. Oh.
Oh, I'll tell you what I was loving as well. Sister Winifred, she met Neil. He was a gorgeous little boy. And she just really took to him straight away, didn't she? And he took
she
to
loved
her.
Him.
And she got him out of his shell, and it was just really nice. And she was like, I don't want to go. And I know I'm supposed to be obedient.
I loved that outburst.
Same.
Well, you know what? It was finally one of her things where, you know, because she's always kind of like, she's like, I'm going to do blah, or I'm going to do this thing or whatever. And it was finally like a declaration that felt it was everything coming together at once. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like when she said she wants, when she said she wanted to learn how to drive, it was like, really? Why? Like, you don't even like driving. And like, there were just like a lot of projects she had in Anata's house that were kind of that quality. And this felt like her taking a stand in at the right place in the right time for the right reason. Like it just kind of seemed like it was all coming together. And I will say, like, it made me remember how when she started, she was a teacher, and she really wanted to be a teacher. She wanted to be around kids all day long and like helping them and you know, doing things for them and thinking creatively on ways to, you know, kind of grow with their development and all that kind of thing like that. That's really her true calling. I mean, I know she ultimately did become a good midwife, but that's not really what she wanted to do end of day. So yeah,
and
I've never
been Sister Winifred's biggest fan, but I felt
literally slagger off every episode.
Yeah. But I felt she's finally found her place in the world.
Yeah.
But also,
yeah.
Why is she never? I've just said I'm never her biggest fan, and now I'm going to slagger off again. Why has she never noticed all these orphans at the mother house before?
I don't know. Maybe it's a new program they're doing.
Maybe.
No, it's not, because Billy and Lena were there. So I don't.
I mean, I think it was one of those things that, like, even though it doesn't make sense that she doesn't know, like, for the audience's sake, like, she's learning with us.
Or maybe the batch when she was last there was just rubbish.
Maybe Neil rubbish wasn't orphans. There. Maybe Neil wasn't there until recently.
Neil must have been there, because Neil is not on the adoption list.
No, I know, but maybe Neil was somewhere else, and then he, like, aged out of somewhere else and didn't have anywhere to go, and they took him.
They were just rubbish orphans there last time she didn't care about.
Yeah.
Maybe.
She's like, oh, I'm not connecting with this group. Anyway, bye. I'm out of here.
Let's finish this storyline, though, quickly, though. So they did the vote. So the bell rang.
And before we get to the vote, I have to say, when Sister Winifred had that outburst, when she was basically like, I don't want to go back, Sister Mildred did a speech about our quarrels. Yeah. I think that got her the mothership.
Same. I do think
it's not a mothership.
Wait a minute. Say again.
So it was a really awkward scene, because they're all sat around the table. Sister Winifred has an outburst that she doesn't want to go back to popular. She wants
that other nun at the other end's being like, shush, you're not allowed to talk.
He's supposed to be a silent meal. And then it just gets really awkward. Sheila's then like, should I be excused? But Sister Hilda, who says to her to stay? Because actually,
Mother Mildred. Like, you know, you brought these mince pies, you know.
You stay and you watch us eat them awkwardly while we yell at each other.
But she does this whole speech about quarrels where she's basically said, because everybody says, oh, well, I'm just to go where I'm told. But everybody knows where they want to go.
And they get to go there pretty much. Yeah. Well, and doesn't she say something? Oh, no, I know. Oh, okay. No, wait. This is coming back to me. Now, remember, she says something like, there's a difference between what we want to do and what we're told to do versus what God wants us to do or calls us to do or something like that. I feel like she makes a distinction between, you know, like just being ordered around.
It's about embracing the quarrel.
Yeah, it's not just that you get ordered around by this kind of earthly organization, but that you also have to listen to the divine, inspiration or whatever inside of you to know what's the right choice. Yeah.
The quarrel would lead you to the answer. It is everything we are.
There you go. There you go. And I mean, Sister Julienne says about five different times to like five different people, I don't want this job. I don't want it. I really don't want it.
The person who's going to be mother is anyone's guess, but it's going to be Sister Julienne. But they're just so ridiculous with it.
And she's like, I know.
For whoever you want, but just remember it's Sister Julienne.
And I really was like, when I watched this episode the first time, I was like, oh my God, how's this going to work out? What's going to happen?
Oh, it was so tense. It was so tense. Everyone's all there. Sister Julienne was doing amazing eye acting. She's great at that. They said Mother Mildred. And I was like, yes, Mother Mildred. She's such a badass. I love her.
Well, and Mother Mildred seemed excited about it.
And she just said, Sister Julienne, you go back to Poplar. Sister Winifred, you stay here. Am I saying Poplar instead of Poplar?
I don't know. I didn't notice. Again, we don't listen.
Right, you're saying Poplar. Fine.
Now, should we move on to Lena, because Lena just keeps popping up?
Oh my God, Lena was driving me.
Really quickly, Lena, the name. All names have been stuff like really old. Lena. This is not a name that is. I'm sorry. It doesn't go with Billy because that'd be William. Lena is not a name that would have been around then,
unless it's short for something.
Lena Horne is one of the most famous actresses of that time period. What are you
never heard of her in my life.
Well, Lena Horne is a famous American actress, so... Well,
I'm going to check this, because the last time someone gave us a tidbit, it's that Barbara is related to Richard Burton.
Yeah, you're
can
historical...
Can I just say, guys, I've had it verified that he does have a granddaughter called Charlotte Ritchie. It's just not ours.
Lena Horne. Yeah, Lena Horne. There you go.
I believe Lena Horne's a real person. I just don't think it's a name that was massive in Poplar in 1960.
No, I don't think it was massive.
I just think it's a really unusual name. I think they should have used the name something like Maud. Anyway, carry on.
Okay, whatever. But the point is,
I love the name Maud and Mildred.
The first whole part of the episode, like part one for me, where she was just kept on like driving up, running away, like walking in, running out.
Yeah, they caused a head-on collision with all the Chinese orphans.
I know, like standing in a window that as soon as someone sees her, she like runs away. It's like, babe, you keep coming back for a reason. She's in a different outfit every single time. It's like, you're clearly here for a reason. Why don't you just let somebody talk to you? Like Winifred had to chase her down to get her to talk. And it was like, and then she finally
did a good job
story.
Of that, by the way.
She did a really good job.
She chased her and then told her not to run because it's dangerous for the baby.
Well, yeah, the woman's like 9 months pregnant. Did you guys notice? So they do a really good job on the show of making the pregnant bellies look really good, but Lena's was absolutely ridiculous. Like, it was truly a sofa cushion, like, under her dress. Like, it was, like, she was squeezing it. At one point, she literally squeezed it, like, in half when she's running, like, holding her belly. Like, her belly just is absolutely, like, such a pillow. It is so hilarious. If you watch it back, it's just the most ridiculous thing. And then even though that's hilarious as a scene to watch, you did find out her story was absolutely tragic and terrible and really made me feel
really
horrible and bad.
Sad.
Oh God.
Her parents were killed and in the war, and she got sent off to Australia and had a really awful time there.
Yeah.
Which is awful, because when she was saying to Sheila, she was like, oh, you know, I went to Australia, and Sheila was like, oh, it's a lovely program for people to go over, lovely opportunities. She was like,
I was in a work camp and then sold to an old man.
Yeah, and we've seen so many children so many might be an exaggeration, but there's been children who've been kind of sent off to Australia.
Yeah.
And they kind of get waved off as if they're going off to this wonderful opportunity, and it's obviously not that.
Yeah.
Well, and did you guys get the sense that even her marriage sounded horrible? Like, marriage sounded like she basically either out of desperation or not desperation, but like somehow like
no other choice,
and like she kind of got conned into it or something like that, like married to this old man. I couldn't figure out if he just like died and then she's like, you know what, I'm out, or if she actually just left in the middle of the night because she was like, I can't take this anymore.
I think
they did say that he died because she used the money that he left her passage home.
Anyway, she went off on her own, but she had a little brother called Billy, and they say he was lame, which obviously I wouldn't use now. So
he's had a club butt, and he did have a built-up shoe when he came back.
Yeah.
Oh, we did? Oh, I missed that part.
Because he comes in and you're like, who is this man that Miss Higgins has bought? And then you notice he's got a walking stick and a built-up shoe.
I put on that bit, though. I was like, Billy and Lena, now this is a Christmas episode. Their reunion. Oh, their reunion was just so joyous.
It was, yeah, I was
the
really
first time
them.
I cried was when Lena was in labor, and
oh, yeah, we forgot about that part.
She says that this is going to be the first time in so long that she's going to have flesh and blood.
Do you guys remember? Would you guys remember the other Christmas episode when they were at the teen mom maternity home?
Yeah.
And that
April.
Yeah. And she said, like, I don't have any family. This is the first family that's ever going to really be my family.
Yeah.
Well, was it her that said that or was it somebody else?
No, it wasn't.
That line really just, yeah, that slayed me. Absolutely slayed me. But yeah, so she has a little boy.
For all of Sheila's judgment of Miss Higgins, Miss Higgins tracked him down.
Yeah, she did.
Miss Higgins is a badass. I love her.
Yeah. I mean, and that was a time where you didn't even have like Google or Facebook or like any of that kind of, or like reverse image search. You know what I mean? Like Miss Higgins literally had to go.
Miss Higgins is Google.
I know. But you, it was a different episode. I won't say. But anyways, Miss Higgins is, I mean, yeah, she's awesome.
Love her.
Yeah.
And Lena's baby was cute. So many cute babies in this episode.
Oh, yeah, well, William, Billy was married now, didn't have any kids of his own, but he was like, Lena, you're coming home with me.
Yeah.
I just was like, oh.
Well, I just thought, like, they both got kind of, you know, like, they both got another family member, right? Like, Billy got a wife, and she got a son, and then together, they could kind of make a new, like, little family structure for themselves.
In my mind, you mentioned three men and a baby, Alex, but in my mind, they lived together in this weird little hodgepodge of...
Oh, yeah, I definitely...
children, but she's had a baby.
You know who they're going to live next door to?
Ted Danson.
No, Donald. And Stan and Olive.
Oh, yes, exactly. From last week. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
They're going to move into Donald's house that's now vacant. Anyway. Yeah,
that makes more sense than Ted Danson.
I don't know how old Ted Danson, he would have been alive, maybe about 12. Anyway, that's
I was going to say he would be a child at that point.
In America. Yeah. Shall we talk about May?
Oh, meanwhile, May's just been sat in the corner of the office or sat on the stairs on her own.
Her adoptive parents not showing up. And then Sheila talking about how she's undernourished, like she knows how a healthy three-year-old should feel, and she just feels like a little bird. And it killed me.
Well, she's so cute.
And the story of May is also really sad too, like how her mom, I mean, and I really felt for her because, I mean, and I won't spoil anything, but like May's story will come out more as we go forward. But when Sister Mildred said, wait, Mother Mildred? Anyway, when she says the thing about how May's mother like really didn't want to give her up, but she was a sex worker and she was often in like very abusive situations, and she would, you know, I think maybe possibly addicted to drugs, I don't know, but that she basically would like drop her off at the orphanage and then come back and have some money and then take her away again, and then in a few weeks she'd bring her back, and she did that like 3 or 4 times, and finally they just had to say to her, you know, listen, like enough's enough, like we can't do this, like we're taking this child and we're not going to give her back to you anymore. I could be making more out of it than what she said in the show, but basically that they were like, this is not working, like this is not going to be a good situation for this child, and that she really cannot be in this kind of like group home situation anymore because it's ultimately like just traumatizing for her, and she really needs to be in like a lowercase h home situation, which is why the push for her to be placed was so strong, and then why Sheila and Dr. Turner felt like they had to take her more.
Well, also, did you see the scene where Dr. Turner first met May?
Yeah, because it's going to sound wrong, but he was like immediately drawn to her.
Yeah. I only thought it sounded wrong because you said it sounded wrong, but I was the same. I was like, there was a lovely touching scene between them, and he was like, oh, hello, and it was lovely.
But the thing is, like, didn't you also, oh my God, I don't want to say it because it's like Steve McGann, I love Steve McGann, but like the way that he came down the stairs, it was like he like ran right to her, but not in a way that made me feel like that he didn't know that she was there. You know what I mean? Like, I wish there had been a scene where he would be like, oh, I saw you on my way coming in, little one. Like, how, you know, or something. Cause it just felt like even from the top of the stairs, he knew she was going to be at the bottom and he was just waiting to like go right to, I don't know. There was something about it that didn't feel, I don't know. Anyways, I don't want to say anymore because I love him, but it was just, it might be one of those situations
where they've done a few takes.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't listen to our podcast, but there must be occasions where
that's nice.
People are listening and we're literally going that's not a good example, but we're literally spelling things out really slowly because in the previous recordings that haven't made the edit, we've like stumbled over our words. And then
Jen does it quite a lot. I'm just going to say, so Jen, if you do something wrong, you then go in a minute, you say it really weirdly.
I know.
It's like you really enunciate.
I know. Well, I just did it earlier this episode when I said Jennifer Worth's first book. I had to say it like so.
And then you say Jennifer Worth's first book.
I know.
Which is fine to do that after you've stumbled over your words, but the stumble gets cut. So then you're just left saying it in a really weird way.
I know. But it's like in that scene, it was like Dr. Turner, like, you know, he was supposed to walk down the stairs and then see, like, have a moment where he sees, like, now, like,
you want,
like,
him to literally do a double take.
Well, like, now, oh, I'm acting like I'm like, who's that famous acting coach? Like, where it's like I'm like, you know, what is it, like the Strauss style of acting or something like that, where.
Oh my god.
Never mind.
I don't think it was that big a deal, Jen. I don't think it was that, like, I think they were a bit like, oh, right, Dr. Turner, see her, just so we can reference that he's met her. Thanks for lost it.
It ruined the whole episode.
Well, he sometimes says it to Sheila too, where she's like, Patrick, what would you think about this? And like, literally before she has the words out, he's like, Sheila, I love it. Great. And it's like,
you don't even need to explain. I do know exactly what you mean. It's just made me laugh. It's like the one with the homosexual one the other day. If he's homosexual, he's homosexual. He's
already like right there, and it's like, we get it that you read the script 10 times before you came here, but like, all of us are learning some information for the first time. Like, Sheila, when she says like, oh, we should take May home, I know we said there's been no other room for any other creatures in the house, and he's like, nope, great, we got it, like, the wagon is huge, like, dump her in the back, you know what I mean? And it's just like, you're not even gonna stop and think about it.
Oh, no, I will say about that. It's an enormous car and our life just keeps expanding. There is room in it for everything that matters. Apart from that bloody Christmas tree.
That's got to go.
And all of the possessions that Sheila got rid of in the move.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. When she was like, you can each take one box only. And then
she's the queen now.
She is. Yes, she is.
To be fair, she is the queen of our hearts.
There's one other.
Yeah.
Well, there's two other things I just want to discuss. Oh, the donkey. We're not talking about the donkey.
Oh, do you know, that annoyed me. How did they get the donkey there? How did Violet not know about the donkey? That just annoyed me.
Oh, and the sad donkey covered in sand. Where did that thing even come from?
The beach. It'll come from Clacton.
What's Clacton?
The beach where Sister Julienne was.
Oh my god, are you serious? Why would it have come from the beach? Why was there a donkey at the beach?
Oh, Jen.
There's always donkeys at the beach.
They would have unlocked a bit of British culture here. So wait, it's a weird, wait. I'm going to let Bex take this one.
No, well, it's just whenever you go to a classic British seaside,
Blackpool, there's a group Clacton.
There's a group of donkeys that are working on the beach, and you basically pay for a donkey to just, for a donkey ride up the sand.
Are you kidding me? What in the hell are you talking about? I have never heard of this. You're lying. You guys are lying to me. This is not a real thing. There is no way this is a real thing. I have never heard of this. We are genuinely, right,
Jen, we are genuinely, genuinely, I promise you, cross my heart, I hope tonight.
Okay,
honestly,
okay, British listeners, somebody else needs to corroborate this. I absolutely am not going to believe this. This is ridiculous.
I'm
going to
send you a picture.
Why are there donkeys randomly at all the British beaches? Why?
It's not all the British beaches, but it's a historic,
it's a good
you
one.
Know, like the which ones?
The good ones.
The good ones,
yeah.
She said.
I was going to say another word, but
they're farm animals. Why are they at the beach? That doesn't make any sense.
I don't know if it's frowned upon now because it's like exploitation.
Do you know what though, Jen? It's like one of them things that we've always just had, so we've never ever questioned it. And yeah, you're right, it's absolutely mental. But it's just like lollipop lady. Do you know what I mean? Like, we call it lollipop lady. We're all adults. It's weird. But it's just, you know, you just never think about it. And like, we've just grown up.
Oh my God.
I've never had a donkey ride on a beach that I know of.
Oh my God, that is so strange. Oh,
so I think it is still allowed, but there's a lot of regulations now. So
the limit is here. The limit here is 7.5 stone. So I definitely haven't. Not for a long time.
But I'd love to.
Donkey rides. Oh my God, this is so weird.
Yeah, I loved Reggie and Fred's interactions.
Oh.
The fact that Reggie Reggie snuck. So Fred had to take the donkey down to the allotment.
So hang on. So Reggie... Fred was given a donkey by his friend who let him down. He was supposed to have a reindeer, didn't have a reindeer. Then all the kids had to have a Santa on a rocket. It was really weird. And Violet was like, this isn't Christmassy. And he's like, yeah, it's weird. And then his friend's like, oh yeah, I've got your donkey. Instead of Fred being like, I don't want a flaming donkey, he was like, oh, I've got a donkey to look after now. I'd have been like, no, take it back.
Yeah, like I didn't ask for this. The moment has already passed. Christmas is already over pretty much. So don't worry about it.
And they just didn't tell Violet, which annoyed me. And yeah. I did like the interactions. I agree. With
stole
him and
all the Christmas veg, the Brussels sprouts and 2 pounds of parsnips.
Which annoyed me because she'd have to go back out into the shops at Christmas and get them again back onto the market. That would have been
absolutely
annoying.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And what if they weren't available because they all sold out? I mean.
But I just loved Reggie and Fred just sharing the fact that they were sharing a secret. And it was like they had an in-joke.
And also, yeah. Reggie laughing loads at first when he saw it. It was lols.
Well, and he said he had a really funny line where he said something about, I can't remember. I think it was when he came down and Fred had just got the donkey.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the hell is a donkey doing here? And he's like, oh, don't say anything. Like, she's like, it's a donkey or something like that. Like, he was very funny.
Also need to shout. So we had two nativities. Well, the first wasn't sort of a nativity, but we had a Christmas show where Belle was leading the dance class.
Baby ballet concert.
Baby ballet.
Cute. It's so cute.
I know.
But
I know.
Just lol to Vi doing Belle's hair and then telling her she can't have a cigarette because she'll go up.
In flames. Yeah.
Yeah. No naked flame nearer. But then the audacity of Sheila to just ring Violet and be like, I need you to put together 20 nativity outfits.
I was so angry at that. I'm going to let you into a secret here. Sheila's my zero this week, purely for that.
Whoa. Well, maybe that's why Sheila needs cigarettes, because she's constantly like getting stuck into like insane schemes like that and then putting them on others. And it's like she has to calm her nerves.
A big begging bowl, she said to Violet, and rang her a few days before Christmas. And then was like, yeah, well, only about 20 costumes. How dare she? How very dare she?
I do feel like Violet has this coming because she did put upon Lucille in a similar way.
Oh, that's true, actually.
Yeah, Lucille has done it
to
others.
It was still rich of Sheila.
Oh, man. But you know what? Like, I was really glad when, Neil got to be one of the kings. And they had a different pillow arrangement that helped with his digestion. And he was already starting to do better. I love that.
The other thing I really wanted to talk about was Lucille. Because obviously Lucille was back at Poplar and with Mojo. And she invited Sister Monica Jo to church with her. Because obviously Sister Monica Jo was obviously a bit lonely and a bit like, oh, we're not celebrating Jesus on his birth. And then Lucille was inviting Mojo to go to church with her, and she said the promise of cake, and I really thought that would clinch it. I'd have been like, do you have vegan cake? If not, I'm not coming. Then she did manage to, so this is the big end of the scene, and if you remember, this mirrors the end of the last episode, the Barbara episode, where her Lucille's church was singing.
Yeah.
So that kind of mirrored that for me, and I thought maybe that was a nod to the Barbara thing as well, because obviously I know it was 7 months before, but I didn't know if that was like to kind of mirror, because they both
really
finished
good,
lovely songs.
That's a really good insight. Yeah. Thank you.
I just love that gospel choir. I'd love to come home to a gospel choir just singing.
So would I, but you know what I really loved about it the most? So everyone came in and I was like, come in, all the people who'd come back from the mother house. And like, come in. And then they showed a panda up to May and Angela, who were just like, what is going on here? They are the most beautiful voices. It was all gorgeous. But they were like, what?
Aww.
Would you hear us as zeros, ladies?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've not thought about mine.
Well, I'm going first then. I'm just going to carry on with mine because it's just going to be bad. I'm going to go with a zero for Sheila.
Yeah.
Sheila's amazing. But number one, she slagged off Miss Higgins. Love her. Leave my Miss Higgins alone. You're just as bossy. Shut it. And also, I did like the way she adopted the child, so that's great. But, fostered. But I didn't like the way she put all those costumes on Violet, because my hero is Violet. And I'm going to keep it because... Number one, she had to go back and get all the veg stolen after all that. It really annoyed me. I thought that was really annoying of Fred to do that at Christmas.
Yeah, it's a stressful
I don't think men realise.
Food shopping at Christmas.
Yeah, but they don't realise like how she'll have thought about that. She'll have done it in exactly the right time to make sure it was perfect for Christmas. And now she's got to go out and get some more. It's probably not going to be as good. It's just annoying. That annoyed me. But also the fact that she was just there, poor Violet, really stressed with her sewing machine doing all these costumes, which looked amazing, by the way.
Yes, they always look good.
So she was my hero.
Well done. Okay, I'll go. I'm going to give my zero to Dr. Turner for coming down the stairs and running right to May. I just...
and for giving away the tree.
for giving away the tree.
It was going to Dr. Turner for bad acting.
I'm not going to say bad acting. I'm just going to say acting choices that I just did not like. I love Stephen McGann, but that was absolutely insane.
As someone who's met him and there's video proof of me meeting him, I do not stand by this serum.
It's all meant in good fun. I love Dr. Turner. I love Stephen McGann.
I will say this, guys. We need to stop slagging people off. We're not going to get on conflict.
And then my hero. Well, you just chose Sheila as your one. So
not for her acting. For her character, the fantastic writing.
I said choices. I just didn't like the choice. I just meant it in a lighthearted way. Anyways, and my hero will be, who will my hero be in this one? You know what? I think we're about to say goodbye to her, and I'd like to just give her one last shout beforehand, Okay. I'm going to pick Sister Winifred because she's not my favorite. I do like her, but she's by far not my favorite. But I think she really found where she's meant to be, and she stood up for herself and that in the right moment. And I like that and respect that. And I really think that, like, she stood up for a little boy who didn't have anybody else standing up for him. And I think that's really admirable. And we're about to say goodbye to her. So I feel very, good about giving her a little nod before.
I agree. I really like her. She's not my favorite.
Not my favorite, but good on her for.
My zero is going to be Mavis Hollier.
Oh.
For turning her nose up at the Nanartans. Thinking she's going to get a better service from the hospital, well, that'll teach her.
True.
And gravel in her knee giving birth and a vaginal hematoma didn't teach her enough, or?
No. And then my hero is going to be...
While Becky's thinking about it, I'm just going to say, like, I didn't really think about it too much. And I did shed a tear in this episode because it was very moving. But I was actually kind of grateful that, like, this episode was, like, in quotes, more lighthearted than we've had the last few.
Yeah.
It was a nice, like, respite. You know what I mean? I, like, really appreciated kind of the tone shift. And I was really grateful for that. So thank goodness to this episode.
My hero is going to be a joint hero, Lena and Billy.
Oh, nice. Oh,
that's a really good choice.
Because they both had a really difficult start in life.
Yeah.
Billy, obviously, he had a better experience with Dr. Bernardo's, but Lena, obviously, like, they thought they were sending her to a better life, but they weren't. But yeah. The fact that they both created, I mean, Lena didn't know she was going to be reunited with Billy, but obviously she, for her child, she was going to build a family. Billy had built a family with his wife, but just those two that they, yeah.
I love that.
Well, I thought it made it a Christmas episode as well. I know there was loads of other Christmassy stuff, but I just thought it was really, really heartwarming.
Yeah, no, that one was really sweet because she thought her son was going to be her only family, and then
yeah.
It doubled in like a
day. And now, if anything, it's made it confusing because there's two Billies. Yeah. Now, I've actually got something here. I'm just going to do a quick one, but I want to say I've got so much correspondence. What we're actually going to do is next week we're going to do the season recap, and then the week after that we're going to just do a listener special one as well because we've got so much good. A special listener special. Just because we've got so much correspondence that I don't want to just try and cram it in. I just want to actually get a good episode out of it.
Also, Alex has sprung this on me and Jen, won't give us any more information, but has told us that there is game-changing listener feedback.
Yeah.
But won't tell us any more about it.
And I'm not going to tell the listeners now either. So in 2 weeks, you'll find out.
Yeah. At least we only have to wait a week.
Yeah, true.
It's our one special privilege that we get by being co-hosts of the show.
Yeah, but it's good to get
your on-air reactions.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, that's why I do it. And also, I do all the research.
And in all honesty, Bex, knowing how your memory is and how my memory is, we'll both forget and then be like, oh my gosh, when it comes up again. So it's not like it's going to be a problem from about an hour after this recording ends to a week from now.
Let me just read this one. I'll do this one really quick and then we're going to sign off because we're rubbish at it. Hello. I absolutely love your podcast and listen basically every day. I love hearing your opinion of each episode, as the only other person I know who watches Call the Midwife is my mum, and she can't remember as far back as the ones you are doing. Bex, is this your daughter?
it's my daughter.
Listen to this. I am 13 years old and have been listening to you since I was 12. And I've watched Call the Midwife since I was 11. Hardly anyone I know watches. And me watching Call the Midwife made me be able to tell my friends exactly what we were being vaccinated against the other week at school, as all of them were featured on episodes, polio, meningitis and tetanus, etc. Oh, well, I just wanted to leave this review, as Spotify has no review options. Love your podcast and hope you keep making episodes. From Soph on Instagram. Thank you so much, Soph.
Oh, thank you.
Sophie, yeah, I love that.
I know. How lovely is that? 13.
Sophie, I think, is our youngest listener, maybe.
Maybe. But also, that's just crazy. To have such good taste. So I'm not talking about the podcast. I'm talking about Call the Midwife here. To have such good taste at that young. Amazing.
Well, let's just say both. Let's just say both. You know what I mean?
But good really, job. We need the program.
And this is a mature show for a young woman. So good on you, Sophie.
She's going to go far.
Yeah, you're going to oh my gosh, what if she's a future Barbara? Oh. And she always wanted to know about medical stuff and then bodies and everything when she was young, maybe. Yeah.
Okay, so next week we are doing the series recap. So if you want to listen to that, that'd be amazing. That means Jen does loads of work and we have to do none, which we love.
Yes, I'm excited.
Yeah, and then we'll do the listener special and then we'll do the book review of that. Really awful. Farewell to the East End.
You just can't wait to say farewell.
Yeah. In the meantime, thank you so, so much for listening to us. You can like and subscribe and leave us reviews, but follow us on Facebook, Instagram, X, hashtag Twitter, on what else is there? Instagram.
Like and subscribe on all the podcast platforms.
Yeah.
YouTube,
TikTok.
We're not on TikTok.
Yeah. Don't forget it.
And thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.